Well, boys and girls, we've had a good week together. And sorry about if you can't see the board. You're too old. That's just part of it. If you're sitting down here, you'd probably see the board. All right. Well, we've had our stories and all week, and we've taken them out of the Bible. The Bible's a great book, you know. The Bible tells us about the great God, the sovereign God who made all things. And he created everything and he made it beautiful. Only sadly today in many of our schools they don't tell us that. They tell us that we were made from all kinds of things. My wife got me something this week, and this is the first time I brought them out. And my granddaughter got a hold of them today and she called them bubbles. Isn't he nice? And his wee hands all, they velcro together and then you can put them around your neck and he sits there. Just wonderful. And he's my wee friend. School teachers would tell you, sorry school teachers for insulting you, but they would tell you that you came from monkeys. Now they're nice and all that, but not as nice as we are. Sure they're not? No, the boys and girls are far nicer. Well, we better set him up there. Yeah. Go away. That's him out of the road. He'll not misbehave anymore, so that's what you get for your misbehaving. It tells us, we've got the Bible, a lovely book. It tells about the sovereign God that created all things and about sin coming into the world. And then it tells us about the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And Mr. Elliot rightly said there about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a great question asked, where did we get our Bible from? You know, we've been in China a few times and we take Bibles and so forth there. And they're longing to get Bibles and reading Bibles. Want their Bible. And over in this country, we don't think much about the Bible. Sure, we don't. A lot of people that have it in the cupboard and it's all dusty, they don't bother. But there was a man in the Bible called Jeremiah. He was just a young boy when he was called to be a preacher. And as he grew up, he went out preaching the messages that God gave him. And Jeremiah was what they call in the Bible a prophet. He was a great man. And he would go out and preach and teach and the people would gather around him and listen. And then one day Jeremiah said to his friend, and his friend was called Barak. He said, Barak, I want you to do something for me. He said, what's that? He said, I know you're good at writing with paper and ink and so forth. I want you to take some paper, some ink, and then you would need a pen. That's right. And when I preach the word and the message that God gives me, you write it down. And so, sure enough, Barak, he began to write down the word of God, the Bible, the word of God. And the word of God, by the way, is everlasting. People say, oh, the Bible, it's only an ordinary book. It's not, you know. We have ordinary books in the cupboard, but the Bible is that bit special. It's the living word of God. And so Jeremiah, he preached and Barak wrote it down. And, well, something happened because Jeremiah had to go into hiding. And he wasn't allowed out to do his preaching. And so what happened was he sent his friend Barak. And Barak, he went down to the church, it tells us, down to the public church. And he talked to the people and he says, I've got a letter from Jeremiah. And it's the words that God gave Jeremiah, and I've written them down, and I want to read them to you. And he read them out, and he told the people, look, you've got to repent of your sin and turn to God. And the people said, that's tremendous. Hey, do you know something? Our princes and our rulers, our MLAs would need to hear that, wouldn't they? That's what they meant. And he says, we'll go and we'll tell them what your message is. And so the people went along. And they told the princes about Jeremiah's message. And so the princes says, hey, send Barak down. And we listen to him and hear what he has to say. And sure enough, Barak came down and he began to read. And he read out, he says, you must repent of your sin. You must come to God for forgiveness and have your sins forgiven, and then God will bless our nation again. If you don't, God will judge you. They said, boys, that's powerful. Hey, the king should hear this. Jehoiakim, the king should hear this. And so, Barak, he went away, and the princes, they went their way, and they went down to see the king. And the king, it tells us, it was winter time, and he was sitting at the fire in his winter palace. He was sitting there, and the princes come in, and they say, hey, Jehoiakim, or maybe your majesty, or Elizabeth, or whatever you want to call her, you know, we want to tell you something. We heard a man reading from a letter. Now, they call it a Bible, a book today, but in those days, it was like a big roll of newspaper. Or a big roll of wallpaper. Wallpaper, not newspaper. What am I talking about? Wallpaper. And he said, he read out about sin, and he read about repentance, and he read about God judging us. And, oh, king, you should really hear this letter. It's tremendous. King says, yes. Go and get it. Jehuda, go and get the letter. Jehuda probably was the youngest one, and he could go the fastest. So he came back, and he says, okay, Jehuda, read the letter. He says, oh, by the way, how did you get that letter? Where did it come from? Oh, he says, well, Barak, he told us that Jeremiah pronounced the words with his mouth. He got the message from God. He pronounced the words with his mouth. I took a pen, I took some paper and something, and I wrote it down. And it's a message from God. That's why this Bible's different. It's a message from God. And so when we read it, there's lovely messages from God. And the king says, well, you better read me some of it. And so he began to read about repentance and turning to God. And the king stopped him. He says, could you give me the roll, please? And King Jehoiakim put his hand in his pocket and he took out a penknife. You can read it in Jeremiah chapter 36. And he took the penknife and he cut it up and he fired it in the fire. And three of the men says, Jehoiakim, king, oh, please, king, don't do that. It only made him go the harder, didn't it? And he cut it all up and he threw it in the fire and he burned it. Was that the end of the Bible? No. Because Jehudai, he went away and he told his friend Barak. He said, Barak, do you know what happened? I got that roll and I took it in and I read it to King Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim took the pen and he cut it up and he threw it in the fire and he burned the whole thing. What are we going to do? Barak said, don't worry, I'll tell Jeremiah. So he went back to Jeremiah and he says, so Jeremiah, there's been a bit of a problem. King Jehoiakim took the letter we wrote and he burned it. What are we going to do? Jeremiah says, don't worry. Get you some more paper, get you some more ink, get you another pen, and I will give you the words again and you write them down. And it tells us in the Bible, boys and girls, that God gave Jeremiah the message, Barak wrote it down, and it tells that he gave him even more words to write down. You see, kings don't always like the Bible. Some people you meet, if you mention the Bible, they hate the Bible. They laugh about it. They make fun of it. The Bible's a great book. Let me tell you a great story. The original Bible was written in Hebrew, and it was written in Greek. Hands up who knows Hebrew and Greek. Oh, sorry. I don't. Maybe one or two words, but that's about it. So, if we came along to church and had a Bible in Hebrew, the Old Testament in Hebrew, and the New Testament in Greek, well, it wouldn't be much use. So what happened was, down the years, some people copied the old scriptures into Latin. Well, now, I don't think there's many of us know Latin, so they read out the Latin Bible, and it wasn't much use either. Nobody understood it. And anyway, there was no printing presses in those days, so you had to write it all out by hand to have a piece of a Bible. And the Bible was scarce, hard to get. But in England, there was a man one day, and he was looking out the field. And he saw a wee boy ploughing in the field. And he said, if God helps me, I'm going to get educated in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, and English as well, I'm sure. And I'm going to translate the Bible from those hard, difficult languages into English, that wee boy ploughing in the field will be able to read the Bible, find out that he's a sinner, trust the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and one day go to heaven. Wasn't that lovely? And this man's name was William Tyndale. William Tyndale. And that's what he did. He decided he would study. He went into a study and he studied. He studied in Cambridge and he studied in Oxford. And he really worked hard. But then people started to talk. You know the way they talk, don't they? Even some of the men do a bit of that sometimes too. We blame the women and they blame us. And here's poor William Tyndale. And he goes home and he studied really, really hard. He studied the Hebrew, he studied the Greek, he studied English. And he began to translate from the New Testament, the Greek, into the English. And there's a man called Thomas More. And he heard about this. Who said, I get Tyndale, I'll kill him. I'll kill him. That's not very nice when somebody says that to you, sure, isn't it? Even though there may be bigger we, I don't like that, sure, you don't. He said, I'll get him, I'll kill him. And he was really meant it. And William Tyndale, he moved into London. He thought he'd be safer there. More said, I'll get him, I'll get him, I'll search for him, I'll get him. And then eventually Tyndale moved over to Germany and away up to Belgium and kept hiding. But he produced the New Testament. Got it all written out. Oh, he had lots of problems and difficult times, but he got the New Testament. And then there was a man came along and he made something really special. He made a thing called a printing press. A printing press, a big machine that goes plunk, plunk, plunk and produces paper and books and all kinds of things. And he made a big printing press. His name was Gutenberg, and he made and invented a printing press that he might print the Bible. That's why he wanted to print. And the first book that came off the printing press was a Bible. And they were all excited. And Tyndale was, oh, he was so happy. He had got these beautiful little New Testaments. Well, they weren't little, they were quite big in those days. And he had them printed. And he decided he would send them over to England. But how was he going to get them to England? So he thought, I know. You see, Thomas More, over in England, he had got the people all stirred up, and he got a whole lot of people saying, if you find any of these Bibles coming into England, get them and burn them. Get them and burn them. We're not having that Bible in England. And anyway, see that man Tyndale, I'll get him one day, and I'm going to kill him. That wasn't nice. He had lots of people looking for Tyndale, but they couldn't find him. And so Tyndale thought, down to the shipyard, down to the harbour, to the docks, and he saw big bales of cotton. And he saw bags of wheat and barley and corn. So he decided, I know what I'll do. I'll hide my Bibles down in the bags of in the bales of cotton. Hide them down into the bale of the bags of corn. And then when they arrive in England, somebody will be opening some corn, get their breakfast, and they'll find a Bible. Somebody opens a bale of cotton and they'll find another Bible. And they'll take these Bibles and he arranged that the people that were buying the cotton were getting the Bibles, and the people that were buying wheat and corn and barley, they would get Bibles, and then they would sell the Bibles. And so that's what he did. He went down to the harbour, and he got his Bibles, and he hid them in amongst the bales and the bags. When the Bibles got to England, they cost 2.5 weeks' wages for a working man. Now, what's a working man getting today? Say, £200 a week. I don't know whether inflation's good down here or bad. But £200 a week, just say that for a figure. So that would be £500 for a Bible. And the people bought them. They searched for them. They wanted them. Have it with you here. There was an old boy and he hated the Bible. It wasn't Thomas More. It was a friend of Thomas More's. And he hated the Bible and he said, I know what I'll do. I'll buy up the Bibles and I'll burn them. That's what I'll do. I'll get them and I'll have a big bonfire Halloween night. Burn them all. I'll have a great time. And he went round and he smiled at everyone. He said, excuse me, but could I buy a Bible? But someone was smart. Because someone heard that he wanted to buy Bibles and they went along and they said, excuse me, I hear you're wanting to buy a Bible under the counter. Do you ever see that? Buy some cigarettes under the counter, please. They do that here. No, don't. No. Do it up our way. You like cigarettes here. Cheap ones. Bottle of wine. But there they were and they were going to buy the Bibles. And the man says, I'll buy the Bibles tonight. Will you bring me the Bibles and I'll pay you for them? Well, boys and girls, if a Bible costs £500, he put the price up. And he charged this old boy hundreds of pounds, and he brought him Bibles after Bibles and hundreds of pounds. And then he got all the money together and he sent a letter over to Tyndale, and he says, Mr. Tyndale, I bought up a lot of your Bibles and sold them again, and they've all been burned. Oh dear. Poor Tyndale's heart fell. They've burnt my... But he says, I sold them at an inflated price, and there's a lot of extra money for you. Would you please set up a new printing press and print the Bibles smaller? And that's what Tyndale did. He got enough money from this old fella to print more Bibles and better quality Bibles. Well, he was so busy. He had the New Testament Bibles going out, and he was busy at the Old Testament getting it sorted out. And different people had come over from England to help him. Then one day he got a knock at the door. He went to the door. A man, hello, Mr. Tyndale, how are you? How did you find me? Oh, he said, God has sent me to help you. I'm from England, and I heard of the great work you're doing, and God has sent me over to help you. Oh, he says, and what's your name? He says, my name's Harry Phillips. Oh, come on in. And Harry Phillips went in, and Mr. Tyndale was nice to him, and he says, I believe you're printing New Testaments and Bibles, and you're working hard. Oh, I'd love to help you. I know the Hebrew, and I'd love to help you with the Hebrew, and love to help you with the printing press. And Harry Phillips came in, got to know what time he got up in the morning, got to know where he lived, got to know what time he went for dinner, got to know what time he went to bed at night. Mr. Tyndale worked around 15 hours a day in translating and working in his Bibles for years. 1525, the Bibles came over to England, the New Testaments. But 1536, Harry Phillips came to help him. Do you know what Harry Phillips did? Once he got to know all the details of William Tyndale, he sent over to England to Thomas More. And he says, I've got Tyndale for you. I know where he lives. I know all about him. Send the soldiers and I'll have him for you. And that's what he did. He betrayed the great man, William Tyndale. The soldiers came and they got William Tyndale. They put him in prison. They kept him in prison for over a year. It was pretty hard in prison. It wasn't like McGabbery. He didn't have a coloured television or anything like that. In fact, he was cold and he had to send out and get another coat and some extra clothes. The winter was so cold. But he said, please, can you let me continue translating my Hebrew Old Testament? And he did. But boys and girls, one day the cell door opened and they came in and said, Mr. Tyndale, William, come with us. They took him out. It's very, very sad. They tied him to a stake. They put the wood around him to burn him to death. But you know, before he died, he said, I want to pray. And he prayed out loud and he said, oh God, open the eyes of the King of England. That was the last words they could hear him say before he died. 1536, he died. Now, did God open the eyes of the King of England? Yes. Because just after that, there was another man, Rogers, and a few others went over, and they finished the Bible, the Old Testament, and they had Tyndale's Bible. But, oh dear, the King in England and the kings didn't like this name, Tyndale. So another man, Coverdale, he decided he would make a Bible up, and he put a big photo of the King in the Bible. And he presented one to the King, and he said, look at the lovely photo of King. You know, people love to be rubbed the right way, don't they? Stroked. King, there's a lovely Bible, and I made it for you, and it's wonderful. It's Coverdale. And King says, that's nice. You know what the King said? Put one of them in all the churches and let the people read it. But it was hard to get reading a Bible. Hard, because there's so many people wanted to read the Bible. And you say, did that continue the way it is? You see, they tried to do away with the Bible, the Word of God. But today we have a Bible. And over in the front of my Bible, it says the Authorized Version. And there's a great man called King James one time, and he said, we need a good Bible. And he called in 54 scholars, and he says, go you in there and don't come out till you bring me out a perfect good Bible. And they came out, and they called it the Authorized Bible, the King James Bible. And here we have tonight the answer to William Tyndale's prayer. The Bible, the Word of God. How did we get it? God spoke to people. Someone took paper and ink and wrote it down. And we have a man like Tyndale who translated it from the Hebrew and Greek into English. And here we have, with the King's authority, the Bible. It's a great book. Why is it a great book? Because it tells us that we didn't come from bubbles. It tells us that God created all things. The great sovereign King of Kings. It tells us where sin came from into the world. Sin came in by Satan, the devil. And then it tells us about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And then it tells us not only of the Savior's first coming, doesn't only tell us about how the Lord Jesus Christ can save us and forgive us, but it tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming. He's coming again for all those that know and love him as their Savior. Amen, boys and girls. We've had a great week together. And as I come out of the car coming in, I opened the boot to take a bag out, and I thought, what a lovely smell. Somebody's cooking. I said, that's gorgeous. Wonder who's cooking. And I come into the church, and I said to one of the ladies, hey, poor smell of cooking out there. Somebody's cooking. And one of the ladies says, yes, they're in the kitchen. So I can't keep you any later, because there's some lovely food for us. Boys and girls, thanks for coming this week. And I ask you, and mums and dads, that you and I might know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And what good fun we'll have in heavens. Thanks. Bye.